have your study guide out in front of you. You might want to have your book open as we go along. That's up to you, but I definitely would recommend having that study guide out in case we go over terms, because there will be terms that will be on your study guide. You might as well get it the first time we talk about it. Okay? All right, section two. Again, with chapter four, what we're looking at is the human side of geography. Section two is looking at global cultures, how when people start to live in groups, when they live in societies, how they go about doing that, what their interactions are like, what they value, how they dress, their music, all those different things make up culture. Okay. So section two is going to study those societies. We find that the world's people organize communities, develop their ways of life, and adjust to the differences and similarities they experience. Many people struggle to maintain some elements of their traditional cultures while establishing ties with the global community. What that means, basically, is that as people have come to live in societies, as people have come to live in larger civilizations, big urban cities, a lot of times their lifestyles have changed. If your family was traditionally a farm family and all of a sudden you move into the next biggest city, all of a sudden you move into Sioux Falls or Minneapolis, your way of life has changed. A lot of people still try to hold on to their traditions, though. They don't want to change their lives altogether just because they're living in a little bit of a different way or they have a little bit of a different job. Okay, so this is kind of the modern struggle that a lot of people are going through, hanging on to some of that tradition while also living in a very modern, very fast-paced, very interconnected world. Looking at elements of culture, or kind of parts, or what makes up culture. Geographers divide the earth into culture regions. Culture regions are defined by the presence of common elements such as language and religion. Some of the primary parts of what we're talking about with culture are language and religion. There's no doubt about it. The way that we interact with each other, the way that we speak with each other, that makes up kind of the way that a particular place feels. That's a big part of culture. Religion, obviously, is a big part of culture. It's that tradition, it's the values that a group of people practice. It's going to drastically change how a city or how a group of people interact and how they feel. If you went into a different place that has a different culture, different language, different religion, you're going to feel that right away. And that's a big part of what we're talking about with the culture of a place. What is the purpose of language? What does language do for us? Obviously, it communicates information and experiences. Passes information back and forth, passes experiences back and forth. It also passes on cultural values and traditions. If your parents could not speak, you would probably not be as influenced by your parents. They couldn't really tell you what was right and wrong. They couldn't really tell you, what kind of future they would like you to have. They couldn't tell you what they think is a good job or what they think is not so good of a job. Okay? It's very important because it helps us pass on information to the next generation. However, even within a culture, languages may vary. For example, you think about the United States. We speak English, for the most part, most people, their first language is English in the United States. However, it can sound very different from place to place. The sound of the English that is spoken in South Dakota sounds very different from the English that is spoken, for example, in Alabama or Louisiana. Very different sound to Southern English. We call that a different dialect. Okay? Even though they're still speaking English, there's some twist to it, there's an accent to it, it's going to sound quite a bit different. When we look at language, we find that historically there were kind of root languages. And we call what spawns out from these root languages are something we call language families. Language families are large groups of languages that have similar roots. For example, geographers tell us that the first people ever found The oldest remains of humans ever found go back about 3.2 million years, and they were found right about here, Ethiopia, about 3.2 million years ago. Those are the earliest remains. Between Ethiopia, Kenya, they found remains going back about 2.6 million years. Okay. Theoretically, what that tells us is that the earliest humans were in East Africa, and that they spread off over thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, spread off and spread around the world. And Jared Diamond maps this out, and he shows kind of people spreading from here out across Africa, but also into the Middle East, where we know right about 10,000 years ago, they start to set up small cities. They spread off into Europe. They come up here, they spread across Northern Asia. They come up here, and during the last ice age, they go across a big ice bridge over into Alaska and down into the United States. The earliest human beings found in the United States go back about 14, 15,000 years. So much, much more recent. All right. So as these people are spreading off across the world, they all start out with a common language. But as they spread and they go to different places, some people might end up, for example, in Northern Africa. And though they start off with this original language, when they're off on their own, they start to kind of develop little twists, and their language starts to sound a little bit different. Okay. And then when these people come up and they settle out in the Middle East, they have no contact with these people anymore. Therefore, their language starts to sound a little bit different. And over time, you have this evolution of language where even though they had the same original language, over time it changes, sometimes drastically. And that's part of what you get with the United States, is that you get people speaking English everywhere, but each area changes that language just a little bit. Okay? The culture of that area changes the language and starts to sound a little bit different. So we talked a little bit about language. Another main part of culture is religion. We know that beliefs vary around the world from place to place. And not even just around the world, but inside of the U.S., inside of South Dakota, inside of Aberdeen, we have all kinds of different belief systems. Obviously, at times, this can be a source of conflict. We hold our beliefs, our main values, as a big part of who we are, so that can be very positive at times. It can also cause conflicts with people that believe different things. So while it can cause conflict, it can also enable people to find an identity. And you might say, why is that important? Well, a lot of you are still kind of going through the process of finding an identity, but throughout your life, you're going to decide on what it is that you truly value, what it is that makes up who you are, who you want to be. Okay? And that makes our life a lot easier. It makes us feel a lot better about ourselves. It helps our self-esteem. It helps us enjoy life a lot more if we feel like we have some kind of solid identity. It's not a good feeling to not know who you are and not know what should I do with the next 10 years of my life. To be confused is not a good feeling. So religion can help a lot with that. It gives a traditional set of values, and if you can agree with them, it can help kind of direct you as you go through life. And it also, of course, can aid in creating community. A big part, typically, of tradition is people getting together. Getting together, going to church, going to synagogue, going to the mosque, going to whatever, getting together with other groups of people, okay, associating with people, often helps in bringing people together. Looking at social groups. Okay, a social group is a social system that helps members work together to meet basic needs. And we've got a lot of different levels of these social groups. For example, one of them is the most basic, most familiar to you. It's the family. You're part of a family, I don't have to explain that a great deal. Okay? It's a group of people working together to meet basic needs, right? Your parents are working, you know, kind of with you or for you to help meet your needs. Okay? It's a group of people working together. Other social groups are things such as social classes. These are groups of people ranked according to ancestry, wealth, education, or other criteria. A little bit more complex of a concept, but people fit into different groups kind of based on the educational background, the wealth of their families, all kinds of different things. You fit into these different groups. Now, sometimes in America, we can be fairly fortunate because you don't necessarily get locked into your social group quite as much. You can move. Maybe your family wasn't that wealthy, but that doesn't mean that you can't become wealthy tomorrow and move up very quickly. In some cultures, for example, historically in India, that really wasn't the case. If you were poor historically, you were going to be poor in the future as well. Society would not allow people to move up or down, really. Now, in America, we can move both up and we can move down. Okay. You can be very, very wealthy, and all of a sudden you can be poor the next day. I know during the Great Depression, 1930s, my wife's grandpa he lived in Nebraska, and he owned like 3 different banks in a mid-sized town. One of the wealthiest people in that town. Banking crisis came along in the 1930s. Okay, all the banks went out of business. He ended up going from being one of the wealthiest people in that town to working at a gas station. Okay, so we can move both up and down, and that's kind of a product of capitalism. That's kind of a product of the way we do things. Okay. Also, inside of society, we have ethnic groups. Ethnic groups are made up of people who share a common language, history, place of origin, or combination of these elements. Sometimes this is used kind of interchangeably with race. It's not necessarily the same thing. It's more focused on that common language, history, place of origin. When we start to study human society, a big thing that comes about is that if you're going to have a bunch of people living together, you have to have some sort of organization. Okay? You can't just have people living in chaos. You have to have a hierarchy, you have to have somebody control, because if you didn't have it, people would kind of take what they wanted, and the weak would always get overrun by the powerful, and you would have a very harsh and brutal society. So what's come about over time are government systems. Okay, to create order, to create fairness. Okay, and we've seen how that's affected America to this day. Some of the roles of government, like I said, it maintains order. It also provides protection from outside dangers. For example, a national defense. If you don't have a government, and there are people that would argue that today we don't need a government. Okay, there are people with that ideology that say that we don't need a government. The sticky one that always comes up with that is that, what are you going to do then if you're attacked by an outside power? In the capitalist system in the United States, could you get by maybe without having federal taxes and stuff like that, and just having private business run everything? Yeah, you probably could do that. However, who's going to defend us kind of collectively as a group against Russia invading? You know, say somebody has to, or the Chinese invading. You have to have a large-scale national defense. Okay. So it provides protection from outside dangers. It also supplies additional services like police, hospitals, and fire stations. Okay. Typically, it's going to be organized by level. For example, in the United States, you have the national, regional, and the local level. And it can also be organized by the type of authority. You can have a single ruler or a small group of leaders. You can have a body of citizens, a bunch of people ruling. Okay, all kinds of different types of government. Now, a lot of you have covered quite a bit of this in previous social studies classes as you've been coming up through middle school, so I'm not going to go into a great deal of depth on the different governments. Looking at the economy, again, anytime you have a group of people all living and working together, you have an economy. Okay. This is how a culture or a place is going to utilize its natural resources to meet human needs. So what is an economy? How do we use our natural resources? How do we use our timber? How do we use our land? How do we use our coal in the ground? How do we use our various resources, our water? All that goes into making up an economy. All right, for today, I'm going to stop right there, I think. You said there.